All right, now, 1 second. Tonight's stop is sponsored by Aaron Moshe Kirsch on the occasion of the yahrzeit of his mother, Sarah Bat Yoel, Zechorna Lebracha. So it's Leilui Neshama of Arthur Kirsch's mother, Sarah Bat Yoel, Zechorna Lebracha. Okay, we're on Daf Kuf today. Okay, let's all focus. Get Daf Kuf out. Let me get it. Kuf. All right. So, all right. So if you remember on the third line from the top, Shershav Gavoim Min Ha'aretz V'chule. So we need some picture books with this thing here. Let me get some picture book out. 1 second. Let me get over here. Let me get a picture. 1 second. This is one picture. All right, here's another picture. Okay, this will do. Okay, so let's take a look at the Gemara. So he says, "Shorashav gavon min aretz v'chulei itmar shorashay ilan haba'im ilamala mishlosha l'toch shlosha." So again, we said in the Mishnah that if a tree root goes of 3 tefachim above the ground, it's considered a tree, and I can't sit on it, I can't get benefit from it. So the issue in the Gemara is, what if the tree root goes above and then it goes back down? So now I have a piece of the root, and now it's within 3 tefachim of the ground. Okay, So the Gemara says, Rab Amar mutar l'shtamesh bahen, and Rav Sheshet Amar asur l'shtamesh bahen. So machlok between Rabba, who's meikil, and Rav Sheshet, who's machmir. He says, Rab Amar mutar l'shtamesh bahen, d'chol pachot mishlosha da'ara arahi. Rabba holds anything that's in 3 tefachim the ground is considered the ground. So so it's like no different than the piece of the root that was coming up. So I could use it. He says, Rav Sheshet Amar asur l'shtamesh bahen. Sheshet said this piece of root is prohibited to get benefit from it. Again, it's a harakaka, we're afraid you're like climbing a tree, doing things with the tree. He says, Dekeman demikoach isur ka'ati asurin. Since, in other words, it's growing from something which is asur. So the root grows up. Here at this point where the aleph is, it's prohibited. Then it grows out more. So it's coming from something that was asur, so it means asur according to Rav Sheshet. Okay? So that's the machloka between Rabba and Rav Sheshet. All right? So let me say, I may have another picture for you as well. Yeah, here's another picture, but you get the idea.
Can all I right. ask a question before we go on, a quick one? Is the isur of using a tree the same as riding a horse? Shema, you'll break off the branch? Is
that right, right. That's what we said. That's correct. Okay.
That's the same one.
What about the wind?
What about the wind?
The ruach, like we had, the ruach mitzuya, whatever it's called.
All right, let me hold off with the questions just for a few minutes, okay? All right, let's just wait. Okay, this is what happens, Sifern, when I open up things for questions.
Sorry,
does not work out so well. Okay, 1 second. Let me just mute everybody. Okay, just wait a few minutes, everybody. I'll come to all of you, Blinetter. Okay, all right. Okay, so the Gemara says. The Damu Kimishunita. Now, the Gemara has a number of other analogous cases. So we have a machloka between Rabba and Rav Sheshet. As the root comes out of the ground, it goes above 3 tefachim and it goes down to less than 3 tefachim. According to Rabba, once it's within 3 tefachim, it's part of the ground, I get benefit from it. According to Rav Sheshet, since it's growing from a part which is Aser, where the Aleph is, so it remains prohibited. So he says, the Damu Kimishunita is like this thing. It looks like an outcropping of a rock, or according to Rabbeinu Hananel, it looks like a type of tree. But anyway, the point is that here, the Aleph, it's totally permissible. Beis is totally prohibited. Gimel, it kind of like straddles like 2 rishuyot between low 3 tefachim, above 3 tefachim. The Damu Kimishunita, the Salkin Le'ela Asurin. So those that are above here, above the 3 tefachim, like the Aleph, and those have a root, and then out of the root, there's other roots coming. So here, it's all above 3 tefachim, so that's prohibited. The Nachtin Le Tatai Sharu, that which is down below, that's permissible. He says, Let's start in Pluta the Rabba Rav Sheshet. If it's straddling both, like this middle piece here, some of it is above 3 tefachim, some below 3 tefachim, that goof is a machlok between Rabba and Rav Sheshet. According to Rabba, anything within 3 tefachim you could use. According to Rav Sheshet, since it's growing for something which is asur, it remains prohibited. V'chein anigra. Then the Gemara says the same thing would be true with the ditch. So here you have a ditch. You see, here's the ditch, and it's got water in the ditch, and there's a tree that's growing in the ditch. So from perspective of the ditch, the tree is growing up quite a bit. From perspective of the ground, it's not so much out of the ground. So he says, meaning that according to Rabba would say, now this is machloket how much is permissible prohibited, but Rabba would say this part of the tree is permissible. In other words, according to Rabba, if there's a way that I could, in other words, like remember with the branch, I could view the branch as like within three tefachim, or I could coming from the Easter. So Rabba says I view it as within three tefachim. And so here, Rabba views this side of the branch or this side of the tree as within three tefachim of the ground. So I could get benefit from it. And Rav Sheshet says that, yeah, but from here, it's growing up from Isur. In other words, here it's growing up and it's coming out from, there was Isur over here. Let me see if I have another picture for you. Oh, no, one second. Yeah. Anyway, here's the same picture. You see? So if I view it, let me go back. So if I view it from the bottom of the basin, then it's got more than three tefachim here. The whole thing is growing out from some which is prohibited. But viewed from the embankment, so it's permissible. He says, "B'chein b'keren zavid," and similarly b'keren zavid. If I have a tree that's growing in a corner of a building, the three sides of the tree are covered. One is exposed. So Rabba will say it's less than three tefachim up from the embankment here. So I view it as like part of the ground. And Rav Sheshet would say, no, it's growing up from Isur, because from here, it's Isur. Okay, now, let me just do a few more lines, and then I'll pause, okay? Hahu dikla dehavala abaye. There was a date palm tree that Abaye had, and this is growing up in his house, and you see here's Abaye's house, and he's got a skylight, and this tree grows inside the house. I haven't quite seen something like this in Great Neck, but one second, let me see if I have a picture here. And here's his picture. Again, the date palm tree in the house. This Perush Chai, I kind of like it. He's kind of comprehensive. So he says here, it was coming out of the skylight. So the tree is coming out of the skylight on top. So Rav Yosef permitted Abaye to use the part of the branches that are coming out of the roof here. He says here, so Amar Rav Acha bar Tachlifa the Sharilach Kirama Sharilach. So the one who permitted you, i.e. Rav Yosef, Mistama was passing like Rabba. That since from here, in other words, like I view it as all being covered up till here, and now above here it's permissible. He says, Pshita, that's obvious, that must be what he's going with. Because if I view it like the totality of the tree, then it's prohibited. So he says, Mahu de Tema, Afil Rav Sheshet, Beita Kaman Tamali Dami, Vlishtamish Papacho, and Mishtosha Samuk Lagag. I might have thought perhaps even Rav Sheshet would permit using the tree on top of the roof, because there's an idea we had earlier in the Masechta that sometimes I view the whole house as being filled up. If you remember, we had this much earlier, two homes, you know, adjoining one another with a small window, or the window's too high, so we can still make an Eruve Chatzerot between them, because I view the whole house like Kamali, it's like filled up with furniture is one way to understand it. So maybe I would say that he utilizes that concept, and maybe even Rav Sheshet would agree, like this whole tree is like covered up till the thing, Kamashmalan. So Kamashmalan, not this way, that it's just going like Rabba. Okay, now with time for questions and comments and thoughts, let's just review again briefly. So the basic idea we said is like I have this root coming out. Again, I'm not allowed to make use of a tree, climb a tree, sit on a tree, hang from a tree on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, as Gzera may come to break branches off the tree. So what about the root that comes out? So the part of the root that's within three tefachim of the ground, that we view as part of the ground, that I could benefit from. The part that's above three tefachim, certainly not. What if it dips down back again? So that was machlok between Rabba and Rav Sheshet. Rabba says, yeah, it's permissible. It's within three tefachim of the ground. Sheshet said, no, but it grew from Isur. This part is Isur. And then we had a similar situation with this, the Damu Kimishunita, like this piece of the branch is above and below. And then we had here with this sort of the tree base that's growing up and it's coming in a ditch. So some parts are revealed to the bottom, but some parts are from the side, less than three tefachim. And the same thing here in the corner. And then with Abaye, with this tree in the house, also a similar idea. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Yeah, what's up?
I do. Okay. The Shita that's Mekil and says you can use whichever root it was or something. Why are we not just saying this is part of the tree? You're not allowed to use the tree. Why are we getting involved in this whole parsha here? I don't understand.
Because the Gemara here is distinguishing between a part.
Is it because you're going to have a gezeira on a gezeira?
No, in other words, what is a tree? How do you define a tree? So that which is within three tefachim, the ground, we've used part of the ground, not part of the tree. In other words, what is the gzera? How far does the gzera go?
In other words, you can't break off a branch when it's really the root. Is that what it's saying?
That could be a logical svara, but that could be part of it. But
I'm trying to really understand it.
All right. But that's the best I have.
You got trees that the roots go 20, 30 feet away from the tree.
Okay. But the idea is that which is within three tefachim of the ground, again, we're talking about a root here, so it's not really the tree per se, it's the root of the tree. And the root, and so when is the root considered the tree? So root is a root, so it's not the tree, but if it's... But if it's grown up out of the ground, then we'll view it as like a tree in and of itself. That's the basic idea, I would say. All right.
Okay.
All right. What? Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, everybody with me? Okay, let's take it back and further in the Gemara. I wonder where Yosef is tonight. All right.
Just sitting under the tree.
All right, 1 minute. All right, so now we're on the second very wide line on Kuf Amud Aleph. Okay, the second very wide line on Kuf Amud Aleph. Okay, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. This is our Mishnah. So we learned this machlok between Rab and Rav Sheshet. Now we're going to connect it to our Mishnah. He says, Tanan, Sharshav Gvon Min Ha'aretz Shloshat Tefachim Lo Yishev Aleihem. The Mishnah says that if the roots are above three tefachim from the ground, you shouldn't sit on them on Shabbos. That's what our Mishnah says. So, Heichidami, what's the case that the Mishnah is speaking about? Id Lo Hadri Kipei Pshita. If they don't turn back to the ground, it's so obvious, and Rashi brings down the Gemara Masechet Beit, I think, teaches me this. Where is it? He says, one second. Yeah, this is two lines above where it gets wide. Downstairs, or the first very wide line, he says, because we learn in Masechet Beit, he says, Vashmin d'lo yesheva la kfufin d'yela gvoim pshita. Okay, now the Gemara says, El Alav Afagav the Hadri Kipe. Is it not that the Mishnah is teaching me that even though they turn back down, in other words, just like we'd spoken about before, that even though the root turns back down, is now within three tefachim, that's what you think the Mishnah is teaching me. Lo, liolam de lo hadra. And so if that's true, so the Mishnah would be in accordance with Rav Sheshet, the more stringent opinion. It says, lo, liolam de lo hadra, kipe. No, it could be that it's talking about it didn't turn back, and it's just pshuto kamashmao, vaha kamashmalan, afagab de tzir wachad shavet la'aretz. It could be the Mishnah's teaching. In other words, the Mishnah teaches me something new, because the Gemara in Beya teaches me I can't benefit. So he says, afagab de tzir wachad shavet la'aretz means, I could have a root, whatever, it comes out. And again, there's different pictures how this looks, but it means on one level, it's close to the ground, but on one level, it's three tefachim away from the ground. So the Mishnah could be teaching me that since it's like viewed as three tefachim from the ground, even though part of it is flush with the ground, I still cannot sit on this branch. Okay, that could be the chiddush of the Mishnah. All right, let me go on. So, we're on the fifth very wide line. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan, Sharashe Ilan, Shigvon Min Ha'aretz Shloshat Tefachim, if you have roots that are three tefachim from the ground, and again, here's another way to understand it. It could be that the root comes up here, and from one side it's open, one side is flush with the ground, and different pshatim on it. All right. Anyway, so he says, Tanu Rabbanan, Sharashe Ilan, Shigvon Min Ha'aretz Shloshat Tefachim, if you have roots that rise up from the ground, three tefachim, or they have a space underneath them of three tefachim. He says, and here's another possibility. Here, root coming out, space, and here's flush with the ground, and here's the space. He says, you shouldn't sit on that root. He says, because you're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbat or Yantiv. You can't hang from a tree. He says, you don't lean on a tree. So if you see somebody chas v'shalom, the Shabbos leaning against the tree, say Shabbos goy, echab galernt in daf yomi as meturnish to tinsus. Anyway, below yalebi ilan mi ba'od yom. Now a person shouldn't climb a tree when it's still on Friday afternoon. The eshev sham kol yom kulo and stay there the whole day. You'll be caught in the tree on Shabbat. He says echad ilan v'echad kol ha-behema, whether it's an elon or a behema, like you said before, Fern, also gzeira not to break a branch with a behema. So I should have to be off the behema before Shabbos. Aba bor siyach u'ma'ara v'gader, but if it's a pit or a ditch or a cave or a fence, metapes v'ola, metapes v'yored, I can climb up, I can climb down. There's no isurim with those. He says, v'afilu hein mea ama, even if it's 100 amot, let's say I have a bor, it's 100 amot deep, there's no isur climbing into the pit or climbing out of the pit on Shabbat. Okay, that's the brisa. All right, so now the Gemara says, Tani Chada, I learned in one brisa, imalamu tarle raid. The one brisa says, if he went up into the tree, he's allowed to come down in the tree. In other words, we're going to clarify when he went up in the tree. But one brisa says he went up in the tree, he can come down from the tree. But Tani Chada, asur le raid. And one brisa says he can't come down from the tree. So the second part is definitely on Shabbat. If he wants to come down, it's definitely Shabbos. We have to clarify the first part. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha, kan bod yon, kan mishecha shecha. So one shot is that if he climbed up the tree before Shabbos, so there's a heter to come down off the tree on Shabbos. That would be the first brisa that says, if imalah, so if he climbed up on Friday and then it was Shabbos, so then he can come down. He says, and the one that says he can't come down, if he climbed up when it was already Shabbos, he can't come down. So it's tricky because you're not allowed to be in the tree, you're not allowed to climb down the tree. So it's Isurim whichever way you do it. But this, that's the one shot. He says, or else I could say, that both Bryces are talking about that he climbed up on the tree after nightfall on Friday night. Below Kasha, Kan Bishogeg, Kan Bemezid. That Bishogeg, he didn't realize it was Shabbos, or he didn't realize that this was prohibited. And then now they tell him, you know, you shouldn't be in a tree on Shabbos. And so the first price is saying you can come down if it was Bishogeg. But the second one was saying, not, if it was Bemezid, we don't let you come down. The Ebroid Ema, or else I could say, Haba Haba Shogeg. They're both talking about Shogeg. There's a machloket which comes up elsewhere in Shas. Do we penalize the Shogeg because of the Mazid case? Sometimes we really want to penalize Mazid, but we can't do just Mazid. Everybody will say, I'm just Shogeg, whatever. So for uniformity, I have to penalize everybody. So one says we do, one says we don't. Mars of our Kansin and a Mars of our Low Kansin. One says we'll penalize, one says we won't. All right, let me pause briefly and then take some questions. All right, who's got questions? Comes to us, anything we did so far?
Well, on the 3 year tefachim, do they have to be tied when it's folded over? You're allowed to sit on it. Do they have to be tied down? Because what happens if the wind starts blowing them?
In other words, with the branch, you mean?
We had in the past with a, what was it called, a ruach mitzuya or something like that.
I don't understand. In other words, you think that the branch is so fragile it's just going to blow this way or the other way?
Yeah.
I assume it means that, like,
if you tie down then.
Let's say with no wind, you know, that's what I would say. And how do you look at it? That's what I assume. I don't know. Okay. Sure. All right. Let me go back.
I have
it's
a question.
Remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What's up? Yeah. Ruth, where was that?
Yeah. There's an interesting dichotomy here that with the issue of the roots and the possibility of sitting on it and breaking it on Shabbos, which is an Isur, as opposed to the climbing and the remaining on an intact branch, is a whole different area.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Well, the Gemara didn't seem to indicate that you would break it by sitting on it. Presumably, it's a strong root or a big thick root. I don't. That's what I assume. All right. Let me just do another 20 lines, then I'll pause for a bigger break, and we'll open it up even more discussion. Okay. Okay. Let's take a look. Okay, so now the Gemara says, now, Amar Avuna b'Rabbi Yehoshua Kitnai. So we had a machlok between two brises. If I go up in the tree, can I come down or not? So he says that tracks a machlok at Tanayim. We were trying to link it to a different machlok at Tanayim. He says, Hanitani matanachad, shetzarbu natan matanachad. So some korbanot have one application of blood, like a bechor is on the mizbeach. A bechor, firstborn animal. So the blood is spilled on, I think it's in one corner, which is really two corners, but anyway, so he says here, so let's say the blood of one bechor got mixed in with another bechor, so you know, numana natanachat. So fine, so I'll do one application, like both, it'll be the zelbazach. Matan arba, let's say the korban chatat got mixed in with another, the blood of a korban chatat got mixed in with another korban chatat, so that has four applications on the mizbeach. You know, new matana arba. So I'll do both that way. That's not the issue. Matan arba matanacha. So here's the main thing. Let's say I have the blood of one korban, which is supposed to have four applications, gets mixed in with the blood of another. In other words, a katat gets mixed in with the blood of a bechor. So one is four applications, one is one application. So what is the person supposed to do? So Reb Lezer Omer, you know, new matan arba. So Reb Lezer says, like, you'll do the more stringent one. You'll do the four applications. All right, I just want to get everybody. All right, so Reb Lezer Omer, Yidatnu B'matana Arba. Reb Yeshua Omer, Yidatnu B'matana Achad. Reb Yeshua says you'll do one application for the mixture. So either way, I'm going to run into problems because I have one application and four applications. So the blood is mixed together. So if I do four, so one of them I'm doing too much. If I do one I'm doing too little. So Reb Lezer says you'll do four. Reb Yeshua says you do one. Amarlo Reb Lezer, Hari Over al Baltigra. So he says, Reb Lezer says, if we do it your way, you're going to violate Baltigra. In other words, you shouldn't, diminish the mitzvah. You shouldn't diminish the mitzvah. In other words, do less than the mitzvah, right? He says, and so your way, something's going to be diminished. Amarlo Reb Yeshua, Hari Over b'Bal Tosif, which is your way. So you're going to be over on Baal Tosif because blood that shouldn't be four applications is getting four applications. So Amr Blazer, Lo Amru Elkshuhu Ba'atzmo. So Blazer says the only Easter of Baal Tosif is when the blood is isolated by itself. In other words, if I have blood, which is just one application, like the Bechor, and I do when I do four applications, that Baal Tosif. When it's mixed in with blood from four, that's not Baal Tosif, Reb Lezer says. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Yeshua says to him, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So he says, Lo Nemar Baal Tigra Elik Shehu Ba'atzmo. So I say also, Baal Tigra is only when it's by itself. So if I have, you know, the four application one, I do one application, so that's Baal Tigra. But if it's mixed in with one, that's not it. So for Odomar Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua says in addition, Shinatata Avarta al Baal Tosif Asita Maase Biyadcho. He says, your way, when you're doing all the applications, so you're proactively violating Baal Tosif. You're going up and you're doing an action to violate Baal Tosif. Shalona Tata, if you do it my way, you're like passively making the violation. He says, Avarta Baal Tigra Valua Sita Masa Biyadcha. In other words, I'm Sheval Tasa. I'm just doing once, and the rest I'm like sitting and I'm doing anything with it. You're Biyadcha, you're going, you're affirmatively doing for. So I think that's wrong. And that's what Rabbi Yeshua says. So the key is here that we have a situation where it's sort of like Lahavdil, like damned if you do, damned if you don't. In other words, it's bad news whatever way you do it. There's no way, easy way out of this. Because either way, something's going to go wrong. There's, I have the one application blood is mixed in with the four application blood. So either way, I'm gonna do some violations here. So which is it better? Should I be proactive and try to do a mitzvah, as Reb Lezer says, to do the four applications, and I'll violate Baal Tosif? Or should I do like Reb Yeshua and be passive and violate, or they say, no, you're not, but get into an issue of Baal Tigra, but they say there's no Baal Tigra, Baal Tosif. So now the Gemara wants to link this up to our machloket about the tree. So the Gemara says, Reb Lezer da Amar Hatam Kum Asayadif. Reb Lezer says, it's better to be proactive if you could do a mitzvah. Hakanami Yered. So here, by staying in the tree, he's also going to be transgressing. In other words, he climbed the tree, and by staying in the tree, he's also continuing to transgress. And by going down, he'll also transgress that way, but he'll proactively get himself out of the mess. So he'll, in other words, I have a choice to stay here and continue doing Aveirot, or I go down off the tree and then I'll do an Aveirot that way, but then I'll end the Aveirot. So we think Reb Lezer would say, go get up and get off the tree and go do it. Be proactive, and because that's ameliorating the situation. Lord Rabbi Yeshua da Amar Hatam Sheva Al Tasa Adif. Rabbi Yeshua says you're faced with, like, you know, a Hobbesian choice between these two bad choices. So Sheva Al Tasa, don't do anything. He says Hakanami Lo Yerez. We think he would say just stay put. So that's what we think. So we think the one Bryce says go down. That's like we think like Reb Lezer. One Bryce says stay put. We think that's like Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says Dilma Lohi. Maybe they don't both match up. I could say Adkan Lo Kama Reb Lezer Hatam Kuma Ase Adif L'Ka Avid Mitzvah. So Reb Lezer says it's better to go and make the four applications because you're doing a mitzvah there. There's a mitzvah to apply the blood in four places, at least part of that blood. So you're actually doing a mitzvah. But here, when he's getting off the tree, he's not doing a mitzvah, but he's cutting back in his aveirot. Maybe the Tana Reb Lezer would say, stay put. He says, conversely, Yeshua says, but the blood, Sheva Al Tase, is better. Ella, turn page on the top line, Kufa Manabez. Ella, the Loka Avid Isura. He's not doing any Isurim. In other words, he's just sitting back and saying, I'm not going to do any more. That's with the blood. Aval Hacha, the Ka'avid Isura, here is sitting back. He'll continue to do Aveirot. In other words, over there, he's totally passive. He's not doing the mitzvah, but he's not doing an Aveira. Here, when he's sitting back, every minute he sits in that tree, he's doing an Aveira. Hachanami Diyerid, maybe he would hold that he should come down off the tree. Okay, let me pause for a minute or two here. You've all been very patient. Now, who's had questions, comments, or thoughts on any?
Wouldn't you say that mitzvah gereris mitzvah?
Which way is that?
Meaning that he should do the mitzvah.
What is the mitzvah here? It was with the blood. There's a mitzvah. With the blood. There's a mitzvah, but with the tree, there's no mitzvah. There's just aveira and aveira. It's just
I'm talking about the blood.
With the blood. Well, that's what we said. That's what Reb Lezer said. Kumase Adif. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
You say with the blood that the one is included in the four, but the four is never included in the one?
The one is included in the four. What do you mean? So when I do the four applications, so I'm doing like a Baal Tosif on the one, and then but with the four.
No, you're doing the regular four, and you're including the one. So you're doing two mitzvot at once. Whereas if you do the one, you're missing the four.
No, but the one should not be applied to four locations, and it's getting applied to four locations.
But it's also getting to be applied to four locations. It has to be applied to one location.
Yeah, but it should.
That's what I learned in school.
It should not be applied to four locations.
But if given the choice of four locations,
that's not the choice. The choice is four locations or one location. Four locations for everybody or one location for everybody. That's the choice. So either way, it's bad news from one angle or the other angle. That's why they have them.
But I think it's worse news if you're only doing one, then you're missing three. If you're doing four,
in other words, you're assuming that the three applications are like three mitzvot. It's like, you know, but either way, that's the machlok between Reb Lezer and Yeshua. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everyone else good? All right, let's keep forging forward. All right, now let's take a look. Now, on the second line, on Kuf Amud Beis 100b, the second line. So Tani Chada Chad Ilan Lach veChad Ilan Yavesh. In one brace, we learn that you're not allowed to climb a tree, whether it's an Ilan Lach, a living tree, or a dead tree. I cannot climb it on Shabbos. He says, "Vahatani idach b'murim b'lach v'abiyavish mutar." The second Bryce says, "If it's a dead tree, I could." So the idea is, if it's a dead tree, it's not due to kotzer. In other words, it's dead, so it's not a. So the whole question was melechet kotzer. Kotzer is cutting off from something that's living, but if it's dead, so then there's no melechet kotzer. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha." One is where the trunk will regenerate and where it won't regenerate. In other words, we think that the one that says that whether it's a dead tree or a live tree, that the trunk would still regenerate, so it wouldn't really be dead then. And the one that says that there's no problem with the dead tree is not going to regenerate. So the Gemara says, Gizo Machlif Yavish Karlei, does that make sense? If the trunk would regenerate, the Tana would call it Yavesh, doesn't make sense. In other words, I'm calling it Yavesh means a dead tree. So he says, El Lokasha, so a different way to reconcile the two, Kan Bimodachama, Kan Bimodachshamim, that if it's during the summer, so it's a question of Maris Ayin, how does it look? So during the summer, I see all the trees, they're green, they got all these leaves, and this other tree is like a dead tree, there's no leaves on it. So if the person climbs that tree, everybody says, oh yeah, Reuven, he's climbing the dead tree on Shabbos. Not, but during the winter, so all the trees look like they're dead. So then it's a Mar Asayin, like people say, oh, he's Machal Shabbos. He says, so the Gemara says, but even according to your interpretation, during the summer, Hanatri Peirei, maybe there'll be some fruit that are still left on the tree from before when it died, and he'll knock those fruit off the tree. And we think that I guess would be more of a Mar Asayin. So he says, but Leka Peirei, there's no fruit on the tree. He says, Bahaka Natri Kinsei, but he's going to knock off wood off the tree, Bigiduda. It's like the bare trunk with no little piece of wood. Ini, is this true? Baharav ikla la pastia of Asar Bigiduda. Rav came to say a pastia, and he said you can't even climb like this dead tree, which is just like just like the trunk, just the bare trunk. You can't climb it on Shabbos. So how did he say it's prohibited? So it should be permissible. So the Gemara says, Rav Bikamatsa Vigata Bargeter. Rav found like an open field and he put a fence about it. It means that the people there were not talking to Chachamim. They weren't so learned. This line comes up elsewhere in Shas. So Rav set up like restrictions for them that he wouldn't otherwise do because they were like such zeros. He had to set it up so that because they wouldn't understand all these distinctions to make sure that the Torah was observed. Okay, give me 1 second. I just want to check one thing here. One second. Right. So he says that if there are fruit there, so people would assume that I could take fruit off the living tree. That's the main idea. All right. So again, so basically we learned that we had two brises. One says that I can't climb a living or a dead tree. One says I could climb the dead tree. So what's the case? So the Gemara says it could be talking about whether it's during the winter or during the summer, because during the summer I see a dead tree. During the winter, everything so will be a big Mar Asayin. And they said, but even during the summer, so I might knock fruit off, and people would think it's permissible to take fruit off the tree. There's no fruit, but they might knock twigs off. People think it's okay to knock off twigs off the tree. So the Gemara says that it's just the bare trunk. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, I'm moving on. All right, so we're the last narrow line on Kuf Amud Beis. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Bar Abba, Amar Rav Asi, Asuli Dam Shalich Lagabi Asab Mishabbat. A person is not allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos, the Gemara learns. Okay, now the Gemara is going to learn at the end you are allowed. Okay, so but chill out a little bit. So he says you're not allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. Mishum Shinamar, but Atzbrag Layim Chote. The one who's impetuous with his legs is a sinner. It means that's an asmakta. We think that by walking on grass you'll cause the grass to become detached, and that'll be a violation of Shabbos. So that's what we think is not allowed. So Tani Chada Mutar Lelechel Gabi Asab Mishabbat. We learn one brisa you're allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos, but Tani Ida Chasur, and one of the different brisa you can't. So how do we reconcile the two brises? So third white line. Lo Kasha Habalachim Habiveshim. Depends whether it's moist or dry grass. So here the Gemara is like shifting gears, and we think that the 1 second. Let me get the Rashi on this. It's a little bit lower than where we are. 1 second. Yeah. No, lachim and the veishim. So again, so lachim means it's living grass. Yavashim, it's dead grass. So dead grass is no problem of being tolish, the dead grass. But yibaydema haba haba lachim, or they're both moist, they're both growing. V'lo kasha, kambimodach shamim. One is talking about during the summer, one during the winter. During the summer, and now the Gemara is shifting gears. The Gemara thinks that it's not a question of being tolish the grass, but it's a question of knocking the seeds from the grass onto the grass, you know, it was like they have like looks like wheat, you know, they have that those kernels. So bimoda kama, the grass is filled with seeds. So I'll knock the seeds on the ground and I'll be planting, but in the winter it doesn't have it. Bibaidema habaha bimoda kama, or they're both talking about during the summer. Vilkasha had the seam misane, had low seam misane. It's going back to being tolesh, to uprooting the grass. One is talking about where he's wearing shoes. If he's wearing shoes, he's not going to be tolish to the grass. He's not wearing shoes. The grass will catch on his nails, his feet, and it'll uproot it. He says, V'ibayim, or else I could say, Habahad the Simasani. They're both talking about he's wearing shoes, and presumably it's the summer. Lokasha, It's whether there are spikes on the shoe. If there are spikes on the shoe, it'll rip up the grass, otherwise not. He says, they're both talking about the summer. They're both talking about shoes. They're both talking about spike shoes. He says, depends on whether the grass is long, and if it's long, tall grass, it'll get caught in the shoes. The short one won't. He says, v'ha'idna, the kaimelon krib shimon. But now that we hold like Reb Shimon holds davar shenu mitkavein is mutar. If something may or may not occur, Reb Shimon says it's permissible. So he says, kulu shari, it's all permissible. So that's where the Gemara ends up. So Reb Shimon, that it's all permissible because it may or may not occur that you'd rip up some grass. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything they did? What's up, Fern?
Aren't you not allowed to cut anything on Shabbos?
What do you mean by anything?
I can't take a pair of scissors and cut a piece of paper on Shabbos, right?
That's true. That's correct.
What is that based on? What is that?
Yeah, that's Korea.
Okay.
It could be Korea or Mechatech. Yeah, Mechatech.
So if you walk with the shoes and the grass is dead, aren't you over on Mechatech?
No. Mechatech is where, like, I intend to cut something like along like a line, like a clear line, like let's say I take toilet paper and rip it on the preparations.
Okay, so let's go to Korea.
That's mechatech. But okay. Here, I don't care where it's coming or whatever's going on with it. But the malacha, if any, would be tolesh. That would be the malacha, like kotzer.
What about Korea? That's tearing, right?
Yeah, Korea is more like a garment. Korea menat letfor. You're ripping the garment with intent to be tofer it. You want to sew it back up. Okay. Remember, like,
so you can pull dead grass from the ground?
What?
So you can pull dead grass from the ground?
Well, it sounds like, again, the grass could be muksa. There might be muksa issues with it, but it doesn't sound like you'd be violating any halakot of its dead grass.
You can't schlep. No.
I'm not carrying it. I'm just tearing it and throwing it, and I'm not moving.
Yeah, I think there would be a muksa issue with it, but otherwise, if it's dead grass, I don't think you have a tolesh or a kotzer problem with it. Okay.
Wow.
All right. Let's take a look further in the Gemara. Okay. All right. Now we're coming up for the women's section. We have a lot of Gemaras that relate to things that relate to women. Okay. Where's Malka? Malka, you're pricking up now. Okay, now I see the forehead. The more she pricks up, the more of her face I see. That's the way it goes. I was getting eyes. Now she's sitting up. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's see how she does with how everybody does with this. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Va'amar Rami Barachama, Amar Ravasi, Sulidam Shekof Yishtel Dvar Mitzvah." It's wrong for a man to force his wife for Dvar Mitzvah, means for intimate relations. Wrong for a husband to force his wife to have intimate relations. Shnemar, and the reason he's quoting this is the same pasuk we quoted before. On the first wide line, we quoted this pasuk from Mishlei, Ba'atzbar Glaim Chote, the one who's impetuous with his feet sins, and was asmachted walking on the grass. So he says, Shnemar Ba'atzbar Glaim Chote, the one who's impetuous with his feet. But the feet can refer to like intimate, like he quotes Rashi, quotes, see, the Rashi is around 10 lines from the top in the narrow lines. It says in Shira Devora, Bain Ragla Karanafal Shachav. He's talking about Sisra and Yael. He says between her legs, he bent down, but it's like a reference to intimate relations. So Atzbra Glaim Chote. Back in the Gemara. If he forces his wife to have intimate relations, so any children that he has from that won't be upstanding children. How does he translate it? He says,
Of good character.
You're right. They won't be of good character. What's the pasuk that supports this? So he quotes the pasuk, the beginning of the pasuk from above. Gam blodat nefesh lo tov. Like blodat, the way he's interpreting it, like without the wife's consent, you end up with a nefesh lo tov. You end up with something not so good. Tanin amihachi, we learn a brisa that supports this. Gam blodat nefesh lo tov. Zehu hakofa ishto lidvar mitzvah. That's referring to forcing your wife to have intimate relations when she doesn't want to. V'atz raglayim choteh, if a person actions impetuously with his feet, his legs, he's sinner. Zehu bol v'shona, he has relations with his wife, then he has it again. Inis is true, v'amarava rosala sot kubanam zakharim nivol v'yishna, that if a person wants to have male children, he should do it. And Rashi says that she'll get aroused the first time, and then for the second time, I don't know, she's mazra tchila, I don't know all the biology, but somehow when she's She causes, I don't know, it sounds like the egg to come out first. She has a male child. So lo kasha kanadad kanashuladad. It depends on whether she's, you know, consenting to it or not. So if she doesn't want to have it twice, so then that's bad. But if she's agreeable to it, then that's fine. All right? All right, any questions, comments to us that we did?
And this is similar to the Gemara that, I mean, it's a little different, but the Gemara where they asked the woman, they told the woman that it's Yom Kippur or something, and she was...
That's what the end of Masechet Yoma.
Yeah.
They told the woman, they told two women that it's Yom Kippur.
Yeah,
One had a child, I think, Kidor, and the other one's, I think, Rabbi Yochanan or something. The mother who
was Rabbi Yochanan's mother, yeah.
All right. So let's see back in the Gemara. So we're around 15 lines down. The first word in line is Amr Shmuel. Okay. Amr Shmuel bar Nachmani. We have Amr Yochanan, but he says it should be Amr Yonatan. Kulish Shtabat Baala, the Dvar Mitzvah, Havin Labanim, Shafib Zerosha Moshe Lo Yukmotan. That if a woman, she importunes her husband to have relations with her, she'll have wonderful children that even in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't have like them. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, you should appoint, you know, people who are chachamim and navonim. Navon means maybe in davar, mitoch davar, you understand one thing from another thing. And then when it came time to do it, Moshe Rabbeinu was repeating in Parshat Devarim, so I took chachamim, but it didn't say navonim, v'ilu navonim lo ashkach. So in time Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't have navonim to pick around. V'ilu gabi le'aktiv, but by Leah, the wife of Yaakov, it says, this is coming up, not this week's Parsha Shavua, but I think next week's Parsha Shavua, in Vayetze, Vatetse Leia Likrato, Vatome Lai Tavo, Kisakor Skartika. It says that Leah said, you should come to my tent tonight, because I hired you with Duda Ebeni, either my mandrakes, whatever, like I did a swap deal with Rachel. There were these wise people. They knew how to calculate, like it sounds like with Luach, know what they should do, and everybody would listen to what they would say. So the point is that Leah, she, you know, made a request for Yaakov to come to her tent, and she ended up with a wonderful son who had all this chachma. And so we think that if a woman would do this, that we'd get the same results. Inis is true. V'amar of Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Esther klalot nekal l'chava, that Chava had 10 curses against her. He says, d'chtiv. Now we're going through the 10 curses, but it's going to come out at the end that it's wrong for a woman to ask to have, you know, relations with the husband. D'chtiv, ela ishamar har, but now he's going to dice up the pasuk. It says this is after the sin of the Eitz Hadad. So Hashem curses Chava and Adam and the Nachash. Ela Yishamar Harba Arba. Elu Shnei Tipei Damim. It refers to the two bloods that she has. Achad Dam Nida, Achad Dam Betulim. She's got Dam Nida, Dam Betulim. So Itzvoneich Zetzar Gidul Banim. Like your pain, first, like the pain of child rearing. The Heroneich, your pregnancy, Zetzar Ha'ibur. That's number four, I think, right? The two damim are two, three, four. Be'etzev tel dibanim, you'll give birth in pain. Kamash ba'o, that's five. Be'el ishech shuchateich, you'll desire your husband. U'me'ed isha mishtokech rabalo, b'sha'a shiyotza laderech. That woman, like, desire her husband when he's about to leave her. That's, I think, six. V'hu yimshal bach, l'isha isha tovad b'leiv, v'ish tovay b'peh. That he will rule over you, that's in the klala, the woman, she's tovei b'leiv. In other words, she thinks it, but she doesn't express the thought. But ish tovei b'peh, the man says what he's on his mind. Zui mida tova b'nashim. So the Brisa says, that's the proper mida b'nashim. So here, so which is it? Is it good for a woman to ask to have relations with her husband or not? So and then we said that we mentioned from Leah that we learned that that was a good thing. And now we're saying it sounds like it's not a good thing because it says that this was part of the klala. So ki kamrin demaratsya artsuye kame. So the Gemara says when we said that it's good, it means not that she says explicitly, let's have sex tonight, but she says artsuye is artsuye kame. Like she makes herself like accommodating to him, you know, I don't know, romantic, and you know, she like intimates to him, you know, it makes herself pleased, puts on jewelry that she's pleasing, and then in order to entice him to have the relations. And even by Leia, she didn't say, let's have sex. She said, you know, you should come to my tent tonight. She didn't say, you know, if you remember the Gemara in Ksubis, do you remember the Gemara learned that a woman who's a kolani, the kolani is, she says in front of people, it's time to have sex, you know, something like that. And then that's grounds to divorce the woman. That's grounds, if she's a kolani, that grounds, you should divorce her, the Gemara learns. Okay, so now the Gemara says.
But isn't the language of a tetze a language of a yatsanit? Did they use that by Dina?
It says, "Vateitzei Dina bat Leia Asher Yodal Yaakov."
That's not flattering language there, and here it's the same language, "Vateitzei Leia."
Yeah, so and you have to look at the Mefarshim on that, and it might say that it might be that it's not so good what she did. I don't know. I need to look at the Mefarshim on that pasuk. That part may not be good, but the fact she said Eli Tavo, that seems like that was good. That's what it sounds like. So now the Gemara says. I mean, when it says by Dina, it says Vateitzei Dina bat Leia l'rop b'vnot ha'aretz, that she's not just staying home, she's going out, and she's going in places that she shouldn't be going. So this Vateitzei Leia l'krato, she's just going to greet her husband. So in other words, every yitzia doesn't mean that's something bad. In other words, you have to see the context. You
know but
what
it mean? Says bat Leia. We knew she was bat Leia.
Right. Okay, so you got to look at the Mefarshim. Okay, you look and you come back, report back tomorrow, Fern. Okay, now let's say... All right.
You're the Parsha teacher.
Okay. Well, but you have your own Torah. Okay, now let's take a look. Now, Hani Sheva Havyan. So the Gemara says, but there were 10 curses, only 7 that we got. So Ki Atra Avdimi, when Avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Atufa Ka Avel, that a woman is wrapped up like an Avel, that she's covering her hair. He says, Umanuta Mikola Adam, the Gemara is going to explain that she's like banished from every man, but it means the Gemara is going to explain a man on a Din Torah could have more than one wife. A wife can only have one husband. He says, Bechavusha Beveda Surim means like she stays at home. She doesn't go out, like he was saying, but Tei Seidina Bat Laya, Kol Kavuta Bat Melech Panima, the woman's in her palace. But that's it. So the Gemara says, so my minuta be kol adam. What does it mean that she's banished from every man? Ilei mishum da'aser la yichud. If it means that she can't be miyake, she can't be alone with another man. So ihu na miyaser la yichud. Man also can't be alone with a woman. Ela da'aser la beitre. It means that she can have relations with two men, but a man could have relations with two women. Could be married to two women. Okay, now let's take a look for another Gemara. But Manita Tana and the Brisa, we learn that she's got 3 other curses. Megadelet Sear Kalilit, that she grows her hair long like Lilit. Lilit is a shade, a demon. He says, Vio Shevet Mashtenet Mayim Kibahema. She squats, crouches when she, you know, urinates like a behema. Benase Karlabala, and she's like a pillow to her husband. I mean, she's underneath, he's on top when they're having intimate relations. So the Gemara thinks this Brisa learns those are curses. The Idach. The other Tana didn't mention them. He says, Hani Sheva Hula. He thought that those things are praiseworthy. They aren't curses. We'll see in a minute. The Amr B'chia, Mai Dathiv, Malfeinu Mi B'mod Aretz, Umayofa Shvayim Yechachmenu. That'll teach us from the animals and from the birds. Now, with the hair, I saw one shot that if it's braided, that's a beautiful thing. If the hair is braided, obviously it still has to be covered, but it can be braided. And it's only saying like Lilit when it lets it loose. That's the way you have the Masipta Gemara. Then Malfeinu Miba Mod, Zu Preda Shekorado Meshtenet Mayim. In other words, the mule, it crouches down and when it urinates, but it means, you see like it's Sneus involved with that. And it's more Sneustic type of thing. Let's take a look from the Rashi, 1 second. All right, but that's the way it's coming out with that. He says, "Umeopa shemam yechachmenu." He'll make us wise from the birds. Zetarnagol, and for the rooster, shemafayis v'karkach boel. He appeases the wife, and then or the hen, and then he has relations. And the Gemara will explain how he does that. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, in malelon in the Torah, had the Torah not been given to us, he illuminated sniut mechatul. We would have learned sniut from the cat. And I'm said that Shai here tonight? No, Shai is not here. So the cat, when it defecates, it does it privately, and it also
he's here.
Where is he?
By me, he's the middle square.
There you are. You were so quiet, and you're away from the screen. Now I saw the hand. You did a Malka deal with the hand. Okay, so we'll hear from you shortly. So if you look at the Rashi, two lines from the bottom, Mechatul she'enu matil rei b'fnei adam chaset soato. It doesn't defecate in front of people, and when it does, it covers its soa. That's learning a certain sneeze from the cat. B'gezel minamala, you can learn thievery or not to steal from the ant. The ant stores up its food in the winter and has what to take. Va'arayot miyona, and you can learn le'isur arayot from the yona, from the dove. The dove is monogamous. It has one, you know, its mate. Derech eretz mitarnagol, you can learn proper derech eretz from the rooster. Shemefayis v'charkach boel, that he appeases his mate and then he has relations with her. So I'll explain this outside first. That it's apparently the rooster, he spreads its wings before he has relations with her. And the Gemara is going to say that, like, it's intimating that I'll buy you like a coat like this. And then after he has relations, he like bows his head towards her. And that means if I don't do this, you can take off my red crest. So he says here.
But does she get the coat?
Anyway, so with Derek Harris Mitarnagol, Shemafais Fakarka Boel, Umayim Fais Law, Amrav Yud Amarav, Haki Kamarla. This is what the rooster is saying to the hen. Sabinan Lach Ziga Dematulich Ad Karech. I'm going to buy like a coat for you that'll go down like to your legs. In other words, that's like intimating that that's the way a person, you know, should be Mephais his partner. Labatar Haki Amarla. And then after he has relations with her, he says, Lishamtil Karbalta. The who tarnagola, you should take off what is it called? What is the red thing called on the rooster? Not the crow. What is it called? Say it again, Fern. I can't hear you. Oh, I think she deleted herself.
Right. The crest.
The crest. All right. But I think there's the comb. The comb. 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 The comb. Okay. He says, ye it lay. Below, he says, "Dahu tarngola itlay v'lo zabina lach." Excuse me. He says, "If he has the means to buy the coat and he doesn't buy it, okay." So that's basically the Gemara. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did?
I was just going to say about the dove that's most probably that's the indication, like we are with Klal Yisrael. That's why you bring Shnei an Ayoina, because you stayed with one mate.
Why you bring what's say again? Why you do what?
Why do we bring like the Shnei V'nei Yoina?
Oh, you mean from the Korbano?
The Korbano. Because it's a single mate, so it's like we are with the Rabbeinu Shloim. We're single with the Rabbeinu Shloim.
All right, okay.
So what's the bottom line for women? It's good to ask or it's not good to ask?
So we said you shouldn't explicitly ask. That's not good. But you can intimate. You know, you dress up. You put on jewelry. You know, you know what you need to do in order to get the desired result. Anyway, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? Okay, now let me just end the recording. 1 second for 1 minute. Now again, the learning tonight was Lilu Nesham of Aaron Moshe's mother, Sarah Bat Yoel Zichrona Lebracha. Okay, let me just end the recording. Okay.